I know. My Redeemer lives. Because he lives, we will live also. That's the promise. That's the anchor. That's the whole focus of what Paul talks about today in this wonderful chapter. We had the love chapter in chapter 13. I want to suggest we could call this the resurrection chapter. 60-ish verses talking all about his love, talking all about his resurrection. And we need that. We need it because this world is so unstable, has so much trouble, so much difficulty. I mean, just to, you know, think through some of the things that we're facing, worries about terrorism, worries about storms in the Gulf, a pandemic that's gone on and taken so many lives and, frankly, worn a lot of us out. Uncertainty in politics and just swirling all over the place. So divided, so much trouble and instability. Maybe that's why it's not such a surprise. In the midst of this world that can feel so unstable, wear us out, fill us with so much fear and worry, that Jesus would speak wonderful words of comfort. Now, these words aren't in either of the readings today, but I want us to, for a moment, hear Jesus speak to us from John chapter 16, verse 33. Take heart, he says, I've overcome the world. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I've said it to you all many times, I think, by now. Jesus is nothing if he's not honest. He knows how hard it is. In fact, did you hear in the gospel reading how he himself said he was troubled? The pain, even the uncertainty, though he knew death was coming for him on the cross, he had never experienced it before. He'd never experienced that level of pain, and the troubledness of what he was going to have to suffer was on him. So he knows what it feels like. He knows what you and I feel like when we're going through all this trouble, all this worry, all this fear. And what I think Jesus is trying to say to us is, in the middle of all that, what truth you hold on to matters. You can hold on to the truth of the trouble. You can hold on to the truth and the overwhelmingness of all the fear. You can let it just sort of, I'll grab whatever I can, my money, my health, my listen to people in my tribe and get all upset about this, that, and so. Or we hear that promise again. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And we hold on to that. We hold on to him. I think really this is such wonderful news. When Jesus is saying to us, when he's saying, I've overcome the world, he's saying there are troubles, there are problems. I told you that. But what I'm going to offer to you is going to render all of them temporary. Render all of them not as strong and powerful as what I will give you instead, what I will overcome all of it with. It's kind of as Jesus is saying, is what it feels like you're going through right now is maybe a bad storm, but the storm will pass. Maybe a bad dream that we helped one of our children or grandchildren through, but the dream passes. What I'm going to offer to you, he says, is going to overcome all of what looks and feels so bad right now. I'm going to offer you my life, my very self. You might wonder, why talk about this? It's a nice insight, Jerry, thanks. But why talk about that in the middle of this focus when we could be talking just about the resurrection, just focusing in there? And I think that the reason is, I want to be honest and share, I've only showed you the second half of John 16, verse 33. I want to show you the other half, the first half of that verse right now, of what he said. Here's Jesus now going on and saying, I've told you these things, being honest with us, aware of the trouble that's going to come. I've told you all about what the end of the world's going to be like. I've told you all of this so that in me you may have peace. I have yet to find the TV channel that's going to provide me peace. I've yet to find the news website that's going to provide me peace. I have yet to find the radio commentator or the inspiring podcast or anything else in this world that's going to provide the peace that makes all this trouble and all this hurt and fear and worry and all these feelings just seem like a bad dream. But here is Jesus saying, if you're in me, you'll have peace. It doesn't mean the bad stuff goes away. It doesn't even mean that, you know, what's happening over in Afghanistan or at the border or in the, you know, possibly in the capital or brewing out in the Gulf or anywhere else. It doesn't mean any of it goes away. It just means that its weight on us can fade and be in a different perspective. Our awareness of it, that it's going to pass, that it's temporary, and that what Jesus offers when he talks about peace is permanent. Permanent not just for a few decades around here, which would be great, but permanent for all eternity. And that is what I think helps us catapult into 1 Corinthians 15. Because being in me, as Jesus says, means to be in him, the resurrection and the life. If you and I are not in him, well, we've got a nice story that we had a terrific hero who demonstrated his love for us in a sacrificial way by going to the cross for us. Great. Truly is great. But if that's the end of the story, if that's all that we get, that we have a hero who loved us and sacrificed for us, did you hear what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? Then we are to be pitied among all people, because it means, all right, I gave you peace. I promised you peace. I gave you, oh, sorry, I couldn't overcome death. I guess it only lasts for this life, just like everything else in this world, for temporary relief only. Could you imagine Jesus having to give that oops statement to us? Could you imagine if he had to put the fine print of that underneath, you know, we hear the big letters of I am the resurrection and the life with a little footnote at the bottom. By the way, that only means for this life. It'd be horrible. That's why he says we'd be pitied among all people. We Christians who come each week, not because we're making some kind of deposit into our spiritual 401k so we earn God's grace, but we come every week to get reminded and rerooted in him, in his resurrection life. We Christians would be absolutely wasting our time if the relief, if the comfort, if the promises that he makes are only for this life. You can find that kind of stuff on all kinds of podcasts, newscasts, and everything else. All those answers are out there. But the answer that lasts forever, the answer that gives us the peace in the midst of all that chaos, God's answer for you is, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says that to people who are not perfect. You hear, I want you to hear him say it again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Do you know who he was when he was saying that? Paul was the one who had been abusing and persecuting the church and having people put to death. He was outside the church, attacking the church. He was the least deserving person to now be called an apostle and to get to go out and share the gospel, to share about the resurrection. The least deserving person possible. And yet God said, I give my grace even to flawed people, especially to flawed people. They need it the most. And that grace that he gives, Paul says, did so much in him that I worked so much harder. But it wasn't really me. It was the grace. It was the gratitude. It was the, wow, I get to be in him and be in him forever. That awareness, that conviction that filled Paul to work so hard. I think that's what moves you all. In the giving for Ida Relief and the support for care baskets and the encouragement that we offer to each other here as Christians in this place. Keep on keeping on, because he is still with us. He was raised. Think about it for a moment as Paul asks that question. What if he wasn't raised? What if we were just stuck in our sins? What if we were just here and all we had was each other? All we had was me, myself, and I. What if I had to face all of life's struggles, all of the hard feelings and the fearful future? If I had to face that just on my own, what if he wasn't born and didn't die and didn't rise again. It's so fearful a thought. It's so horrible a potential reality. I don't even want to spend a whole lot of time on it. What I hope we can hear and see and trust in is that Jesus went first. When he talks about his heart being troubled, he still went to the cross. He still went and suffered that death, and he still rose again to assure us, I can bring you through. If I can find my way out of that maze of death, if I can overcome that greatest common enemy that all of us face, I can help you do it. And so he is the Redeemer who went before us, but he's also the rescuer to get us out of the rubble and the trouble of this life and to get us into that new and forever life. Jesus waits to do that for us, and he longs for us to wait in him. I think we face a choice today and all the troubled times that are in our nation or ever in our life. I can be in my own fear and in my own feelings, seeing all the things that aren't good out there or feeling all the things that aren't adequate in me, all of my sins and shortcomings, or I can stand in the one who conquered death for me, who overcame my sin, who reached out and offered me the same grace that he offered to Paul. And I can be strong in him, in Jesus, knowing this life is just going to be, the toughest parts of this life are just going to be a bad dream. And our eyes will awaken, and we will see the Lord who loved us, and we will see the ones that we love who have gone before us, and we'll realize, oh, wow, this is real life. May he strengthen us to know that wherever we're going through right now are dreams and storms, but they're not permanent. His grace, his love, his resurrection life for you and me is. May we be strong in that always. Amen.